Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going deep on a rewind moment balance for jungle and old school DNB, using Ableton Live 12 in a way that feels like a proper mixing move, not just a random arrangement trick. Now, if you already know the vibe, you know the rewind is one of the most dangerous tools in this whole style. It's tension, it's attitude, it's that instant where the tune stops running forward in a straight line and suddenly feels like it's glancing back over its shoulder. The drums stutter, the bass pulls away, the space opens up, and then when everything slams back in, the drop feels bigger because the listener lost their footing for a second. But here's the advanced part. A rewind only really works when the balance is right. If the reverb stays too wide, if the low end is too heavy, if the breaks are too washed out, or if the FX blur the midrange, the whole thing stops sounding like a powerful DJ moment and starts sounding messy. So in this lesson, we're going to treat the rewind as a controlled mix event. First thing, set up the rewind section on purpose. Don't just throw in a stop and hope for the best. In arrangement view, carve out a dedicated 4, 8, or maybe 16 bar zone depending on the track. For a fast old school jungle tune, 4 bars can be enough. For a deeper roller, give it a little more room to breathe. Organize your session into clear groups. Drums, bass, FX, and Atmos. That alone makes the whole process easier, because now you can think in layers instead of in individual clips. And keep your headroom sensible. You want the mix peaking around -6 dB before mastering. That may sound conservative, but it's important, because the rewind needs actual dynamic room to feel dramatic. If everything is already pinned to the ceiling, there's nowhere left to pull back from. Now let's start with the bass, because that's really where the attitude lies. The reverb is the star here, but in the bars before the rewind, you want it to start unhooking from the groove. Think of it like the bass is stepping backward before it disappears. In Ableton Live 12, stock devices are enough for this. Put a utility first and automate the width down. You might start around full width and bring it down to somewhere between 20 and 30% by the rewind. That collapse in stereo is huge, because it makes the bass feel like it's folding inward. Then use auto filter to close the top end a little. If your reverb is bright, you can pull the cutoff down from somewhere around 8 or 12 kHz to maybe 4 or 6 kHz, depending on how aggressive you want it. You're not trying to kill it completely, just remove some of the shimmer so it starts feeling like it's receding. You can also place a saturator before that and add a little drive, maybe 2 to 5 dB, just to give the bass some extra harmonic weight before it pulls back. Then automate it down slightly as the actual dropout happens, so the bass feels like it's stepping away rather than just being muted. If the bass is very mid-heavy, it's worth carving a small dip around 250 to 500 Hz with EQ8, because that's where the breakdown can start fighting the snare and the body of the break. And here is a really useful point. Don't always make the bass totally vanish. In a lot of jungle and old-school situations, a tiny tail, a filtered swell, or one-half beat of residue can make the rewind feel much more believable. That little shadow keeps the listener connected to the groove, even while the actual low end is stepping back. Next, the drums. This is where a lot of rewind moments either come alive or fall flat. In this style, the drums often carry the story more than the bass does during the breakdown. So if you just mute the bass and leave the breaks untouched, the section can feel empty. But if you keep a little motion in the break, the rewind stays alive. A strong move is to slice your break to MIDI, and then sculpt the last bar before the rewind as a controlled fill. Maybe the groove runs normally for most of the bar, then the final beat has a snare flam, a chopped hat roll, or a ghost hit that creates a little tension right before the stop. You can even use gate or drum bus to snap the tail shut and make the edit feel tighter. A classic old-school trick is to make the drums do something slightly ROM on purpose. That doesn't mean sloppy. It means human, cheeky, and rude in the right way. A chopped break fragment, a reverse feel hit, or a short late tick before the silence can make the rewind sound like the record physically got pulled back. Try this shape, 3/4 of a bar of normal break movement, then a final beat with a little fill, then a near gap or a tiny pocket of silence where only the FX tail remains. That's the kind of structure that makes a rewind feel like a real event. Now let's talk about balance, because this is where advanced mixing comes in. When the bass drops away, the rest of the mix changes in apparent level. That means the drums and effects can suddenly feel too loud even if you haven't touched them. So treat the rewind as a gain structure test, not just an effect. Sometimes you need to trim the drum group by a tiny amount, maybe half a dB or a dB, so the breakdown still feels weighted instead of suddenly poking out. On the drum group, you can use drum bus lightly, maybe a touch of drive, but don't overdo the compression. In DNB, Compression can flatten the urgency that makes rewinds exciting. If you need more punch, it's often better to shape the break with transient-friendly editing than to crush it with dynamics. Also, keep an eye on the low mids. The zone around 180 to 400 HC is where rewind sections can get muddy fast. The sub may be gone, but if the low mids are still crowded, the breakdown won't feel spacious. It'll just feel cloudy. So use EQ8 surgically if needed. Think cleanup, not big broad cuts. Now let's open up the space around the rewind with returns. This is where you can get that dubwise old-school atmosphere without wrecking the low end. Set up a short room or plate, a ping pong or echo return, and maybe a longer filtered reverb if the track wants more depth. But the key is to keep the returns high passed. On the reverb send, cut the low end somewhere around 200 to 400 HC, and maybe roll off some top 2 if it gets fizzy. You want depth, not smear. For delay, echo is perfect. Try sync dotted eighths or quarter note throws for that dubby bounce. But filter the repeats so they live in the mids, not down in the sub. And be careful with stereo. Ping pong can sound great, but if the bass is already moving around, too much stereo delay can make the rewind feel messy. Keep the low end centered and let the space happen above it. A really nice move is to automate the send on the last snare or vocal stab before the rewind. Push the reverb send up for just that hit, then pull it back down hard on the rewind beat. That gives you the feeling of space opening up without losing control of the mix. It's a small move, but it makes a big difference. Now let's automate the rewind itself. This is where you want contrast across multiple dimensions, not just volume. The bass narrows, the filter closes, the drum bus may dip a touch, and then the re-entry restores everything with more confidence. A slightly curved automation shape often sounds more natural than a straight line. If you fade the bass linearly, it can feel a bit obvious. But if you curve it so it eases down and then snaps back up, the movement feels more musical and more like a proper jungle edit. You can also try a very small pre-drop dip on the drum bus, maybe -0.5 to -1, and a half dB in the last half bar before the rewind. It's subtle, but it can make the return hit much harder. And if you want a tape stop flavor, keep it tasteful. A quick pitch fall on a printed FX hit, a hard cut to near silence, and then the original groove returning on the next downbeat is usually enough. You do not need to turn it into a cartoon. At this point, think about the rewind as a question. The bars before it are asking the listener something. The rewind is the response. Then comes the re-entry, and this needs to feel disciplined, not just louder. The best way to bring the bass back is in layers. Sub first, then the res body, then any top motion or grit. That staggered return can feel way heavier than slamming everything back in at once. Keep everything below roughly 120 HC centered, and let the stereo width come back gradually. If you've got a layered bass rack, don't rush the full motion layer in all at once. Give it half a bar or a bar to breeze back in. The drums should also come back with a little more definition. A cleaner snare transient, a stronger break accent, maybe a touch of transient push or drive on drum bus just for the first bar. The whole point is that the rewind was not a dead end, it was a setup. The return should feel like the track has reassembled itself with more intent. And now the part that too many people skip, mono checks. Before you celebrate, check the rewind and the return in mono. Use utility on the master or your monitor chain and flip to mono. Ask yourself, does the res survive when the width collapses? Does the snare still read clearly? Is the low end solid, or does it fall apart? In these sections, mono compatibility matters a lot, because the rewind often sounds big because of contrast, not because of width alone. Listen specifically for low mid buildup, especially around 180 to 400 HC. Listen for harshness in the res around 2 to 5k HC. And make sure the snare is not fighting with the bright bass harmonics. If things clash, cut surgically. Don't just smash the mix with compression and hope it fixes itself. A few pro moves worth knowing. If the automation feels too clean, print the bass movement to audio and resample it. A little imperfection can make the rewind feel more human and more old school. You can also add tiny pitch instability to a reverse hit or a printed FX transition for extra grime. Slight instability can be magic in this style. Another strong trick is letting the sub disappear before the res body does. That aura often feels more powerful because the ear notices the low end absence first, then the rest of the bass folds away after it. Also, don't underestimate the drums. If the break is strong enough, you can mute the bass more aggressively without the section feeling weak. And if you want a deeper old school flavor, keep a very quiet dirt layer tucked underneath. Bandpass break noise, tape hiss, vinyl crackle, light distortion, just enough to make the silence feel less sterile. So let's bring it together. For your practice, take an existing DNB loop with drums, res, and sub. Choose the last two bars as your rewind zone. Narrow the bass. Pull the volume down a few dB. Close the filter a little and shape the break so the last beat has a ghost hit or fill. Add one short delay, throw on a snare, insert a brief silence or near silence on the rewind beat, then bring the bass and drums back with a cleaner sub and a stronger snare. Finish by checking everything in mono. If it sounds like a proper DJ moment, you're doing it right.